Hi, this is Evie.
And this is Chantel.
And this is married to PTSD.
Oh my gosh. We're a hot mess.
We're Zooming, so bear with us.
Okay, so let's go back to the beginning of December. Okay. So the last time that we had podcast was the end of November, and I was getting ready to go on my vacation.
Yes.
So Josh handled everything. He took care of the kids while I was gone, got them to where they needed to go. Of course, while I was gone, in the middle of the night, Thursday, at 3 a.m., Lavin, our 6-year-old, was in bed with Josh and started vomiting everywhere in the middle of the night. So he had to take care of that.
Oh, and gross.
As he loads the kids in the car to go to school, she starts vomiting again. And so then he had to call in sick that day. And then the next day, luckily those were the police department days. And then so that next day he had to call in again because she had fevered or had a fever. And so he did good with it and handled the situation quite well. So then that brings us to when, okay, so a lot has happened from then to now. So I'm going to kind of just walk through it like if we were podcasting when it happened.
Okay. So because we are.
Right. Thank you. So whenever I got back, it actually got really bad between us. Mm-hmm. The first day was fine, but then the second day it just turned to shit and it was just a weird blow up. And I don't know if he was resentful that I left and he didn't go somewhere, and not that he would because he doesn't do things like that. But it just got really bad for a few days, and we didn't talk. It was awkward. If we did talk, we were fighting. It was weird, and I don't know really what caused it. Maybe, I don't know. I don't know. It was just he was so awesome for that week. So awesome to where, on my way there, I was oh my gosh, if my plane crashes, I don't know, how the kids will do. I don't know how Josh would do, blah, blah, blah. But on my way back, Josh was so amazing that I was if my plane crashes, I'll be good because I know that the kids will be taken care of and the kids are happy and they're fine. And so I had peace with it. But then, it just went to shit and handbag, and I don't know what really caused it. I don't know if it was because it was just he bottled it up and then just let it all go at one time. But it was rough. I don't even know what, okay. So then that was on, it might've even been a few days later. It wasn't the next day, but then I have these two friends that I had met, and they're both, one was military and her husband was military, and the other one, her husband, just retired from military. And so we've been hanging, we usually do lunch once a week, and just hang out, and it's just easy. Mm-hmm. Well, we had been planning a family Christmas party between the three of us. And then so the fight happened that week of. And then, I tried to apologize and I was listen, it is what it is, but I don't want to fight anymore type thing. Well, he refused to go to the party. So it was my friends and their husbands and their kids and me and my kids. So it was just, it sucked.
Yeah.
I just thought we were over that hump and I really wanted him to meet them, but we still are in it, there's never going to be a time that it's never going to happen, I guess. It just sucked that was their first, situation with my friends that I really wanted them to be a part of. But the amazing thing about them being military is that they both have PTSD. Well, I think they do. I don't want to diagnose them. I know one for sure, but they both get it.
And I was going to say, have they gone through it? Do they understand?
Yep, they understand. And then one of them even said, because I had hung out with his wife and family for Halloween, and he went hunting. And so he was listen, Now he goes, I messed up Halloween, he messed up Christmas, so next time we'll be fine. And I was like, okay, well, but you know, it's just cool to be around and surround yourself with people that know what you're going through.
Yes.
And it makes it easy. So yeah, that was that. And there's just been so much that's happened since then. So it's, you know, it sucked, but we're over that little hump. But now, like, we just have like a whole, all right, have you seen that picture of like a train track, but there's like 500 of them like intersecting? Like, that's how my conversations and my stories are. That's just the way it is. It is what it is. So another good thing that happened when I was in Florida, I was checking my, you know, Josh's VA health stuff that I do every day, three times a day, because I'm psychotic. And great news, Josh is 100% PNT, which means permanent and total. So it's really exciting. It's really exciting that after 13 years and seeing all of his friends get it, that we finally got it. So it just means a lot for our family, and we can just do a lot more. Mm-hmm. So it's just exciting. Yeah,
I hope that relieves stress for him.
Yeah. So, and then one thing that he had done, he actually went part-time with the police department and basically told them, like, listen, if you want me, I want to go part-time. I only want to work Tuesdays and Wednesdays, and I want to keep my pay, and I would like to go back as the school resource officer. And so they pretty much gave him everything that he wanted. So it's just, it's exciting.
That's
it's
awesome. I didn't know any of that.
I know. It's, so he'll start that next week. And then, because he's working like 6 days a week right now and only has Sundays off.
Yeah.
So another thing that we're adding to that is on Mondays, he's going to reserve that for like his office time. So that way he can stay home and just like, you know, catch up on emails and learn whatever he needs to learn at the carpet cleaning stuff. But we're just trying to figure out what the next step is, I guess. But so, and that's what I thought too. Like, I thought like once 100% hit, it would relieve so much stress, but really it just added a new stress of what's next.
Sure.
So I think like once we get over that, I think things will be a lot better. Yeah. So it's just a whole bunch of new and a whole bunch of exciting. And I just can't wait to just know what's happening.
Yes.
I want a crystal ball.
Yeah, but I mean, just different stresses, I always think better. Sometimes, I guess. Well, yes. The holidays have happened.
Yes, yes. How was your guys's?
Well, before the holidays, my husband had to go film for a hunting show.
In Texas?
Yeah, in Texas. And so it was all gravy before he left. And then when he came back, like the second he literally, I can't even make this up. The second he walked through the door, I thought, huh, something's off. Mm-hmm. He just walked through the door amped. And it was, I could tell by his body. I could tell by his voice. I could just tell by everything. And he stayed that way for days. And I just finally, well, right away I was like, you're off. And that was not the best approach. And so just kind of walking on eggshells, getting my head bit off, I realized he had a lot of stress from the show, which I get. I don't know. He just went into full military mode because he's in a competition during this thing. He's with all military. And so he just didn't come back ready to be in the family mode. And so it took him like, I want to say 4 days to kind of go back, decompress, and be in our regular world again. But I did not realize this when making plans for the holidays, because it was so close to our break that I had planned Branson trips and all of this craziness in the middle of him trying to be come back down to family instead of being in military mode and TV mode and stuff like that. So that was rough. That was extremely rough, but we got through it. And we got through it before Christmas. So I'm thankful for that, because then Christmas was good to go. So yeah, I didn't realize that was going to happen. And so that kind of.
Did you go to Branson?
What?
You guys end up going to Branson?
We did, and it was kind of, there were stressful moments.
Yeah. You guys have to cancel anything due to all of this?
No, I just took a lot of getting my head bit off and, you know, just a little bit. I was very vigilant of how he was. Mm-hmm. And working things around it, trying my best. Sometimes it didn't always work.
Yeah, I mean, it just sucks. It's just that, not that we can do anything more about it.
And I think he was trying because he could definitely tell it wasn't something that he was, like, oblivious to.
Right.
So that was helpful. And that's why I keep telling, like, all these ladies, and they're like, what do I do? I say, I mean, it's just, you can't do anything unless they're, unless they want to do something.
Yeah.
But anyways, we made it through the holidays. It's all good. We're still trying to get through the holidays. I'm taking all my Christmas down today.
Listen, I'm not that person. I took mine down by noon on Christmas. Like, once. I'm done looking at it by the time. Like, we don't open presents. You clean up the trash. We're done. Everything.
No, our one big tree will stay up until after New Year's.
Oh, no. Do you guys think it's like a luck thing?
No, it's like the epiphany hasn't happened. The wise men haven't come. And so, I don't know. My family tradition is don't take everything down until the epiphany happens.
Oh, yeah. Josh's mom used to keep it up until after New Year's Eve because otherwise it's bad luck. And I was like, yeah, I don't have that bone in my body. I'm like, let's take it down the second it turns noon.
Okay, well, that was a lot on our lives. We do have like a Facebook thing and an email.
Okay, so one of our friends said, hey guys, I'm new here, but I used to be a part of the group a few years back, or used to be a part of a group a few years back that was hostile. Hated the environment. It felt, hold on. My mom's trying to call me. It felt like it was a negative circle of people who bitch instead of productive tool of coping and healing. I'm hoping to find a better atmosphere here. I followed the Married to PTSD podcast for a while. Loved it. Anyways, just saying hi for now. That was not the one I was experiencing. Oh,
like, all right.
Hold on. But welcome. Where is it? I had it. Oh, here was the next one down.
Okay.
I think whenever I like minimized it, it popped up. Okay, it says, for those of you whose husbands have service dogs, what is the process like? I know the requirements are all different from my research, but what is your experience? Did you have to wait a while? Was it helpful? And so here, before you go in, I will just kind of say what the other people said.
Okay.
I said, I'll get the info to Evie since she's not on Facebook. And she said, that's stinker. And I said, she's so selfish.
Yes.
Another friend said, my husband's been on the wait list for a little bit over a year. The program he is using said it'll be about a 3-year wait. However, they reached out to him and he will be going early fall or late summer of 2023. It's called K9 for Heroes. And she just said, congratulations. How long will the process take and that stuff? And she said that she's just full of questions. So pretty much anything, Evie, that you can offer would be awesome for her to know.
This is where I'm not sure if it programs that train the service dogs are different from state to state, but under the umbrella, federally, they fall under the same thing. So there's not someone that says, hey, they have to be trained in these 2 weeks or this. Like, there's a federal guideline that they have to follow. I get that these people that are waiting a year are probably very backed up as far as just having the resources to train them and stuff. But here in mid-Missouri, we have K-9 on the front line. And they're also in Maine. They have a chapter out in Maine. I think that's where they started. This lady started, it was a young woman with a combat vet husband, and their story is really great. And through the program, we got to know this gentleman, Jason, and he does amazing, but there's no year wait at all. You can try, like if you have a dog that you've already bonded with, you can try and they'll do the testing to see if he even has, like he or she has the temperament or whatever. And then some training goes along with them, but a lot of it is training with the veteran for whatever services need to be provided. whether it's like got your six, so you need the dog to watch the door for you, or when you're in line, you need to have him watch your back. I say him because ours is a him. Yeah. Him watch your back and kind of get people distanced from you. We have a friend who was a jumper, and so he falls, his knees fall a lot. So he has to have a bigger dog to help pick him up. And he also grabs him things when his legs aren't working great that day. We had one that helped with the wheelchair. There's some that have helped with the wheelchair. I'm just kind of giving examples of services that some of them provide. Some of them can wake them up during night terrors, because that's not fun for another, a significant other to have to do. What else? I'm trying to think of all the services. Some do have seizures, and so they alert to seizures that are happening. I'm trying to think. But all of the dogs are rescues. Like, nothing is, like, bought from a puppy mill or anything. They're all rescue dogs if the canine provides it. Like I said, there are occasions where they're like, hey, I've already bonded with this dog. Will they work? And then they run them through the course and test them and say yes or no. And then it's up to the veteran to do all of the required training with the dog. And you have to go through testing. Like, they don't just buy a vest. This is where I can't stress to people enough. People didn't just buy a vest off Amazon and they're like, well, there's my service dog. Like, it has to specifically provide a service. Our service dog is registered. He has a card. He has a picture. It's like a little driver's license. We carry insurance. They are a great tool. Like, my life changed when we got a service dog, because I no longer was getting my head bit off after Walmart trip, after public outings. It just allowed my husband to, I think, control the dog, because he couldn't control the situations. I don't know. In all the services that he provides, it's made our lives change drastically. But you have to be ready for a service dog. It's like a toddler. He has a backpack that we travel with. He has to have water. He has to have, we have extra doggy bags. We've never had to use them, thank goodness. Just things in, like, food, because what if we were out for, we got in a wreck and we needed the food. So he comes with it. You don't know that he's even there in public. He goes under tables. Like, he's providing a service. So what people don't realize is they'll go, oh, I don't think your dog's allowed in here. And we'll go, oh no, he's not a therapy or emotional support animal. He is a service dog, and he does fall under federal guidelines. Now, if you would
I'd be so scared to say that to Randy.
Oh, they do. And they are scared. Sometimes they're rude. And most of the time, I'm going to tell everybody that's listening, 99.9% of the time, it's just because they're uneducated about the laws and rules of service dogs. And honestly, he used to get really defensive, and now he's just kind of like, I don't think they understand. So he kind of educates them, and then people are open up and they're like, can we ask you questions? Because they're scared to ask people with these little purse dogs to say, hey, they're not allowed. He goes, no, you can ask me two things by law. Is that a service dog? I can say yes or no. And then what service does it provide? And legally, we have to tell them.
Right.
But you can't stick us in that. Like, we've had to get advocates for a few restaurants. Well, I say one restaurant in particular at the lake that I will refuse to eat at anymore.
Yep.
Because they kept sticking us by the kitchen. Like, they wanted, then one of them tried to set us outside, and we're like, no, we're not eating outside. But as far as the wait time, I think it is just, because they're such a great tool, and veterans are starting to realize this, and they do fall under the PTSD guidelines with the service dog, which is back in the day, absolutely not. No one could get it. And really, veterans are the only ones that can get that right now by law, but they've started to open it up a little bit for children, which I think is amazing, with PTSD. And I think it, but let me stress, some veterans, and it happens a lot, I've seen it through the classes through the years with these dogs, they think that they want one, they start the program, and they're like, I don't want one, because it becomes very public. You automatically, people think, there's something wrong with you. You have a dog. What is it? It's public. They're going to ask you questions. Get ready to start talking to people. You have a big, our dog wears a flag vest. It's a flag and he's got the Marine symbol on it. And it big letters, do not pet. I am working. I wouldn't believe how many adults will pet your dog. Not the children. The children always ask. And we'll say, you know, he's working right now. He's doing a job. And some people are very kind about it. Some people are rude. A lot of Walmart people are rude. But it's been an amazing tool and I'm so glad that we have it. But other than that, so some dogs don't pass it either. There's just so many things going on that have to fall into line. We have one locally actually that, hasn't gone through 100% of the training. So you cannot say that it's a service dog if it hasn't gone through 100% of the training, if that makes sense.
Yeah, like, of course.
There's a lot of people that are trying to pass off Amazon dogs for service dogs. And I think you can tell right away. But I would always encourage it as a spouse because I think it is an amazing tool. But once again, it is a tool. You're still going to have hiccups. I don't know. I just think that because there's such a demand, I think some are having a longer wait time. I just can't imagine waiting over a year for my service dog.
Especially like if you're in that need.
I would start looking at other organizations, quite honestly. Like I wouldn't cancel that one, but I would definitely be researching. And unfortunately, I know the Missouri VA, you're going to hear me bash them because I think the green team can do better, the mental health team. They don't put those resources out. For the veterans. They don't say, like, here's canine on the front line. It's a tool that they can use you. Instead, they're just like, here's your pill. Here's 10 more pills behind it. Figure it out. So I know that Canines has gone to the VA and done some training there, but I'm not even just saying just strictly with Canine. I don't think the VA does a great job advocating for other outlets and tools that are out there. I don't know. Or at least Missouri's, I know that. I'm rambling, but I just service dogs are, I think, a wonderful thing if your veteran is ready for it. And it's okay if they're not.
Well, we had, so like speaking of, Amazon dogs.
Yeah.
We had, or my mom was at, where was she at? The Dollar General. And she said that she was just walking through and then all of a sudden, like, she just smelled the worst smell. And apparently a dog had pooed. And the mom of the girl that was walking the dog was like, oh, I'm so sorry. It's my daughter's dog. She's training it to be a service dog. My mom's like, stop. Like, there's no way that that's a service dog.
Well, but if it had a vest that said in training, that's okay. I get it. And I honestly, even a service dog, I want to stress this enough. They are like toddlers. We were literally in Walmart like last month and Ridge vomited at the checkout because he had gotten into the garbage the night before. And it was so embarrassing. And I just looked at people and I'm like, they're like toddlers. Sometimes they get sick. And we immediately got paper towels. We were cleaning it up. But I mean, that stuff does happen.
Is it those paper towels that like doesn't?
Yes.
Yes. Anything that the school uses for a throw.
I'm like, oh my gosh. And we were so embarrassed, but I mean, it does happen. Or if they're working and they're done, or I mean, for whatever reason, he could have gotten sick and it could have come out the other end.
Right.
That does happen. But if it's in training, it should have a vest that says in training because again, they don't fall under those federal guidelines. And I think at that point in training, I'm not 100%. I'm not super sure, but if you're in training, you're not completely there providing the service. So I don't know that they would have to let that pet in. I know like Lowe's and Home Depot, they're so friendly as far as training. I know they've held a lot of classes in there for the public training.
That's so cool. Okay, so we have 7 minutes left. So do you want to read our email?
Oh yeah, let me read it as fast as possible. I wasn't watching the time at all. Okay. And this is from Holla Back. So Holla Back Girl, she already emailed and then she's responding to because we've already put her on the podcast, right?
When did we read her email? Is it on the other one?
Season 2, number 3.
Oh, so a while ago. So now we're on season 3, number four.
Yeah. So let me read really fast. So glad to hear your two new podcasts. I really wish I lived near you ladies. I'm in the season with my Marine right now where things aren't the greatest. We are so busy with our kids that there's not much time to decompress with each other. I would like to know if you know any combat veterans who stay at home that are 100% unemployable like my husband and are struggling with it. My husband is on the verge of another mental breakdown, which happens about every 4 to 6 months. I hate this season because even though we've been married for 17 years, I still don't know how to talk to him or how to handle all the stress. I also, by the way, parent out of guilt. He recently, okay, before we go into that, I wanted to say really fast, like, yes, I get it. And I just push mine to the gym. I think the gym is a wonderful outlet where they can get mental and physical things out. And then I think they feel like they can start to open more up to the public. That's just a go-to for mine. Parenting out of guilt. I also, by the way, parent out of guilt. He recently made a Snapchat post with him washing the dishes and literally wrote in the post, please send me back to Iraq. It broke my heart because he'd rather be in Iraq than home with his family. And really crazy, it was over washing dishes. I do know he has no outlet or friends really, and so his self-worth is terrible and he's quit doing therapy and he's drinking again. I don't know if he hunts or fishes and stuff, but there is, what is it called? Army buck hunters. There's Marine buck hunters. There's like all chapters of it. You can be coalition. You can go to these shows with these guys. They're military guys. I know my husband has made some great friends out of this and it's a wonderful outlet, but I don't know if he's a hunter or a fisher, fisherman. So all those things suck, for lack of a better word. I just wish there were support groups for us who live with them. I mean, they sent them home to us broken with no instructions on how to deal with day-to-day aftermath. I am terrible with communicating with him because he always seems to think anything I have to say is judgment, which I know you guys talked about too. It seems that there's a common thing. How do you speak to them without them thinking that you are judging them? The last time we had a conversation about his drinking, it ended up him yelling and screaming and cussing me out, which he's never done before, and has made me end up deciding and telling him that I was no longer going to discuss the drinking with him, that it was his body and I was just going to leave it at that. I'm sorry, my print is so tiny, I'm getting lost, because that's out of my control. I can't do anything about that part of it as long as he's still involved with the kids and he's still involved with his relationship with me. There's nothing I can do to change the fact that he drinks. I just know that his mental health is better when he doesn't, but I can't explain that to him anymore because I know he knows that because he was sober for over a year. It's really hard when you've seen them at their best and watch them go backwards. The hardest part for me was getting my whole husband back and seeing how happy he was just to watch him turn around and go to the opposite direction. I know that one day I will get him back again, but it can be so stressful because there are so many of these meltdowns periodically, whether it's twice a year, whether it's once a year, you know that it's going to come. Oh my gosh, I know. That's the part we all dread. Something is going to happen that's going to trigger them, and at some point they will have another meltdown. I love it when you ladies do your podcast because it makes me feel like I'm not crazy and that my life is abnormal, because there's so many other women out there like this and nobody understands what you're going through. Your family supports you, but they don't understand why you allow the things in the way they are. And it's not that you allow it. You just know that it's a mental issue. So one last question. How do you ladies deal with it when your husbands are going through these spells where they just want to isolate themselves and be away from everyone? Mine is a social butterfly, even though he's going through things. So Chantel, maybe Josh is more of an isolator.
Yeah, he is. And I just wanted to say, I went back on her last email. So her kids now are like 15, 10-ish, and 8-ish. So I'm just upping their age a year because the last time that she messaged was last year. Yeah, I mean, it sucks because Josh doesn't do anything. He doesn't talk to anybody. The one thing that he did find, and I actually think it's so cute. So for Christmas, we got Logan a new iPad. And so one of the things, because on his old iPad, he could download a lot of games. Well, they downloaded Call of Duty. And so it's actually been really cute because the last few nights when Josh gets home from work, him and Logan just sit on the couch and they play together. And I know that's one thing that he used to do to kind of just decompress. So that's been cute to see, like, the last couple of days that he's doing that with Logan. But that being said, he's not, he still doesn't go anywhere. He doesn't really talk to anybody, and he doesn't have time. So I'm really hoping that once his schedule works out, I'm hoping that he'll be able to start doing things with people again. But really, it's like, if, and it's too hard, like, it's hard to push him, and I don't know how to push him. So, I mean, I really have no advice either.
Well, it's just, I have three kids, that's what you're talking about. So just picking up things and going to stay with someone else for a few days really isn't an option. And sending him away isn't really an option because he actually picks the kids up from school and I work. So I have to depend on someone else to completely help me. Or it's not that easy when you have kids and sports events too. Like, we literally have to divide and conquer. Do y'all have any advice on how I can help give him the space that he needs, or suggestions on what you guys do when you know your husband needs to be away and needs time apart? Love you, ladies, and love what you do. Semper Fi. That's right. Oorah. Love.
Is there any way to plan something in advance? Like, if it was a month away, could you plan, like, having one of your moms come and help you? Or if you can take time off of work? But if you think that he needs to go away to decompress, then that, I feel like that's something that's kind of a priority. But also, it's hard, like, when it's the two of you and you have so many kids, like we do, and every kid's in something, then it's hard to figure out who your people is. And if, I mean, you just need a tribe sometimes, and you need to be able to rely on people, because I'm really bad at asking people for help. So even though I will go out of my way and, like, put my stuff on the back burner to help other people, it's just hard for me. Like, it's hard for me to ask anybody for help. Especially, and then if Josh shuts me down whenever I ask him for help, then it sucks and it makes me, like, clam up also. I would just say planning, you have to schedule it. It just has to go on the calendar so you guys can't back out. And
okay, so we just ended a Zoom. That's what happens. I think she was just saying planning, work it out. We will definitely continue with Holla Back, and we have another email with that. So I'm on my own because she just got cut off with Zoom. This is weird. If you want to email us, it is marriedtoptsd@yahoo.com. And we also have the Facebook Married to PTSD. And if we don't podcast before New Year's, Happy New Year, and stay well and safe. Bye, guys.